Today we bring to a conclusion our Bread of Life discourse these last 5 weeks, these studies and readings on the Eucharist. And today's readings bring us to a decision point, a place where we are called to be. Who do you choose to serve? And when our faith is shaken, when something shocks us, where will we go? I think these are good questions for us to reflect upon, especially in today's day. Because when events in the church shock us, and these events should shock us, where will we go? Who do we choose? Following the Lord has never been an easy lifestyle or an easy task. In our reading from Joshua today, Joshua was this great leader of the Israelite people. Moses had taken them out from slavery and brought them to the promised land. But Moses was never able to enter into the promised land. That was Joshua's task. Moses, because of some of his actions that he had done, he was prevented from doing that. And so Joshua comes to the people today and he gathers them in. They conquered the promised land and he gathers them together. And he lays out a choice for them very clearly. Many of their fathers had turned away from God before and after they had been taken into slavery by the Egyptians. And once in the promised land, they had conquered so many nations that had their pagan gods. And so they were familiar with all the promises, all the claims that all of these gods would make. And so they have a choice. They can serve the gods of their fathers. They can serve the gods of the peoples whose land that they had conquered, or they can serve the Lord who had led them into freedom, into the promised land. Not a God who is tied to their ancestors, not a God who is tied to the territories, but to the Lord. And Joshua makes it very clear, for myself and my family, we will serve the Lord. This is a choice that would lead them into a new self-identity. It is a choice that would lead them into a national identity. And it is a choice that will forge the path clearly that they are called to take. Jesus offers a very similar path to his disciples today. In the crowd, there were so many people that were following with him. There were the Jews who had witnessed the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes. There were the chief priests and the scribes, the Pharisees, who were continually gathered around him wherever he went. And then there were his 12, those that he had called specifically by name to be his apostles. And now Jesus insists that they eat his body and drink his blood. And many found this too difficult. Who can accept it? They begin to question and they begin to murmur behind him. But he knows their hearts, he knows their thoughts, and he turns to them. Does this shock you? This would be the perfect opportunity if Jesus didn't mean what he said, to soften this teaching, to make it go a little bit easier on his people, to sugarcoat it. But he doesn't. He comes very clear. Does this shock you? That you are called to eat my flesh and to drink my blood. He who does not eat my flesh or drink my blood has no life within them. And many left him. So he turns to the 12. Will you leave as well? And Simon Peter, he's never at the loss for words. Even when he gets himself in trouble, sticking his big foot in his mouth, today he gets it right. Master, where will we go? We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God. You have the words of eternal life. And so what is our response? When challenging moments occur in our lives, when our faith is challenged, like over this past summer, just when we think all the craziness is behind us, and like in Jaws 2, it might be safe to get back in the water. This McCarrick scandal drops out of the sky into our laps. The scandals in Ireland and in Chile and in Australia, all over the world. More and more states are looking at doing investigations like what went on in Pennsylvania. And just this morning, there's another report out. And this one goes to the very highest echelons of the church. I don't know where this is going to lead. It's just coming out today. Where is this going to lead? The church recoils in horror. And she should. And we should. And even though the majority of these reports are decades old, I think there's only been about 5 reports in this year. Even one is too many. What do we do when our trust in our leadership has been shaken to its core? when bishops reply with statements that mean nothing. There are some very good statements that some bishops have made. I have some references in the bulletin this weekend. Take a look at those. Look on the internet. See the strong statements that are there. And why is it that in our world today, the second largest group of religious persons are ex-Catholics? That is a sad, sad statement. But it is also our reality. And so the question comes and will come. Do you wish to leave as well? And that can only be answered one way. It can only be answered in faith. Not faith in a pope. Not faith in a bishop. Not faith in a priest. But our faith in God. Our faith in His holy Catholic Church. Catholic. As in universal. The Church is holy because and holy. Church is holy because she is a divine institution created by the second person of the Holy Trinity. And He has promised that the gates of hell will not prevail against her. But that doesn't mean that she will not take hits. We are in a war. And Satan is there lobbing hand grenades at our leadership. He's lobbing hand grenades at our families, at our lay faithful. He is doing whatever he can and however he can to destroy our faith, to destroy our confidence in God's church. Because we are a human institution, men and women who are susceptible to actual sin and affected by original sin, even grave sin. Something that titles don't protect you from. Something that ordination does not immunize you from. Something that confirmation, our marriage, our confession, any other sacrament, these are our lifelines. These are how we open our hearts to receive that grace that God desires that will get us through challenging moments. But we need to be faithful to the graces that they give. Where will we go? I'll offer two paths. The first is ecclesia supplet, or the church supplies. It means that the sacraments are not dependent upon a holy priest. If the priest is in mortal sin, the Eucharist is valid as long as he is using proper matter, wheat bread, grape wine, says the words of consecration that the church has given us, the words of Christ. The Eucharist is valid. It changes into the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. Baptisms are valid. Absolution and confession are valid. Anointings are efficacious. If a bishop is in mortal sin, ordinations are valid. Confirmations are valid. The church supplies. And as such, it remains holy despite the so many human imperfections and faults. The second comes from our last 5 weeks. What it is that we truly believe of the Eucharist as Catholic Christians. That we believe that this is Christ's body, His blood, His soul, His divinity. And Jesus teaches us that we are to consume His flesh. The word He used when He talked to His people this is trago in Greek. It's a way of eating that is kind of similar to a dog chewing on a bone. To a cow sitting there chewing on its cud, regurgitating and continuing to chew, continuing to get nourishment, continuing to bring it up again and again and again. That is how we are called to eat the Eucharist, to consume the Eucharist, to allow the Eucharist to enter into us, into our deepest recesses of our hearts and our souls, and to remain there. Not like a meal that we eat today and passes through us tomorrow. The Eucharist, when we eat it in this manner, this trago, when we consume it and we reflect on it, it stays with us. It is our understanding of the Eucharist instituted by Christ. That is, the substance of the wine and the bread has changed with the words of Christ, spoken by a priest, a consecration. Something truly amazing happens, for it is no longer bread and wine, although it tastes like it, it looks like it, it smells like it. It is not. It is now the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And we hold on to that in faith. Because it's like the roots of a tree going deep for that nourishment. We've got to go deep to hold on to that in our faith. Giving meaning to our lives. Holding on to that. Nourishing it. so that what is once a tiny mustard seed at our baptism can continue to grow and grow and grow and become a mighty bush. So when the world comes at us with everything that she's got, and Satan will throw the most vile and the most disgusting things at us, and he does, and he will continue. So we ask ourselves, whom will we serve? Because we will serve someone, something. Who will it be? And whom do we choose?